It may come as a surprise to you, but I have trouble being still. I know, you're thinking, he's the most, I know, Pastor Ben is the most chill person I have ever met. I think I probably move in my sleep. I think probably there's a lot of movement there. That wouldn't surprise me. I've had a hard time staying still ever since I was little. I don't know what it is. I'm not saying that I have more energy than you. I'm not saying that. But I may have more energy than you. Yeah, I don't know what that's about. It is an absolute blessing. Sometimes it's an absolute blessing, and other times it's a challenge. As you can see, someone is holding me in that chair just to get a picture. Stay, stay, stay. Things seemed to me a long time ago when I was growing up, they seemed to be a little simpler. I grew up in the South, and I can tell you that the pace just seems to be a little slower there. But even when I was a kid, things seemed to be simpler. And while I had a lot of energy and I was engaged and involved in a lot of things, things seemed to be a little bit simpler. My parents used to say to me, enjoy it while you're young, because, you know, the pace just gets quicker and quicker. And they weren't kidding. I remember as a child, if you had like 30 minutes, like I would be playing with friends and I'd be like, do we have to go home now? And my mom would be like, okay, you can stay for 30 more minutes. That was like 10 battles in another revolution. Do you know what I mean? I mean, we could save the world another 17 times in 30 minutes. Our culture and our society don't really give you an opportunity to be still. Holding still, staying in one spot, having an opportunity to just sort of relax can be very challenging. And the closer we get to the future, the more interconnected we are and the busier our lives get. I remember, and probably you do as well, when we used to have something called a landline. I don't know if you remember this. They have this in businesses. Have you noticed that you can call, again, some people still do. Some of you diehards, God bless you. You're like, no, I will refuse to give up my landline. And companies like Comcast and Verizon still try to sell you on that. Have you noticed that? They're like, we will give you internet and we'll give you this other thing and also a home phone. And people are like, home phone? I'm never home. Forget about that. There used to be things called landlines. I don't know if you've ever called like a business, but if you ever call someplace to find out if they're open, someone actually picks up a phone that's connected to the wall sometimes. That's a landline. And we used to just have one phone. Well, sometimes there would be multiple phones in the house, but it was just connected to one line. And for the longest time, there was only one phone in our house, and it was in the kitchen. And it had a really, really long cord. I don't know why just the phone in the kitchen did that. I guess they assumed that you would, you know, if it's the kitchen, you're going to be moving along. But it was either white, off-white, or if you were really fancy, it was avocado green. Like if you were a really progressive household, you had the green phone. Everybody else was white and off-white because they got, you know, pretty dirty or whatever. But if somebody wanted to get in touch with you, they had to call you while you were at home. If they didn't, if they called you and you weren't there, they didn't talk to you. They just waited until you got home to talk to you. Now, most of you probably have something in your pocket or purse or on the row beside you. It's a cell phone. That makes you 100% available as long as you are conscious to not just the people who want to call you, but to what I would like to call the destructo-net, the internet, which just will beckon you every moment of every day if you allow it. It didn't start that way, though. It started with something called a pager. Now, in the 50s and 60s, this is when these started, and they were just basically for businesses. The idea was that if they paid you enough money, they wanted to know that they could send you a page. They would send you over the air a page. This little box, this is a beeper for those of you that don't know. This little box would go beep, beep, beep. That's why it was called a beeper. The fancier models would also buzz, right? They would also vibrate. We know what that is because your phone should be on vibrate right now. Should be. And then you could look down and see that, you know, there's a number calling you. Oh, I should stop at a pay phone. I should stop at a pay phone where I pay to make a call and call this number back because it could be important. As time went on, they got to be alphanumeric. Someone didn't just send you a number. Sometimes they could send you an actual message. Although in the original days with these, we learned how to type the numbers that meant words. Anybody with me on that? After a while, like you could just be like, beep, boop, 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 and it would just be some string of numbers where people would be like, meet you at Walmart in 15 minutes. Got it. You could just do that because we didn't even want to take the time to call you back. So companies got smart and they were like, this is dumb. Let's just put some alphanumeric characters in there. Let's make it possible to send messages. That's in the 50s and the 60s. And then in the 70s, it was about 1973, the year before I was born, cell phone technology was born. And it was just amazing. And the guy who invented the first cell phone, literally the first call he made was to his opposition in a different company. He literally called the people who were in the race to develop this thing. And it was like, hey, you know what I'm talking to you on? My cell phone. And then he hung up the phone. These things weighed about 2.5 pounds. They took 10 hours to charge. And for a minute of airtime, it was $8 American. Now listen here. $8 doesn't seem like a lot to you now, but in 1975, $8 was like 60 gallons of gas. You understand what I'm saying to you? We just have this need to be connected. Then the first personal organizer showed up. Now we want to be able to, and you don't understand the size of this thing. This thing, that little keyboard right there, is 6 inches by 6 inches. It's very slim, but it's like that. So people were just like, I don't know how they, but we wanted to be able to have like our calendar right at our fingertips. Paper, that's passe. I want to be able to punch this thing in, because then we wanted to make sure that our calendar was always with us and we always knew what was happening next. That's the first smartphone. And I say smart because they are still ridiculously dumb. Here's the thing about smartphones. They are great little personal computers, but why don't they work as phones? That's what I want to know. I can find the internet in the basement in an elevator of a hospital, but if I try to make a phone call, that's not going to work. I don't understand. Facebook all day long. Phone call, not happening. This is the first smartphone because we wanted to be able to do other things on our phones than just call. Because don't you want to use a phone for something other than a phone call? And it goes from there. You know, the whole world has cell phones now. Back in the day, there used to be these things called concerts. And when you went to a concert, not online, when you went to an actual concert, there were people there, and there was bands, kind of like these guys, playing live instruments. And people would go by the tens of thousands to this. And they used to write songs called ballads. Now, the ballad was the slow one. Sure, sure, it wasn't Christian music, back up off me, whatever, I wasn't always this. So we would go to these concerts, and people would be there. And during the ballads, if you happen to have a lighter, what, a lighter? Pastor, that is sin. Nope, it's just a source of flame. If you happen to have a lighter, it's a source of heated light, you would hold those up, and then everybody would do this. Some of you are with me. Some of you are like, you archaic dinosaur of a human being. What are you talking about? Well, listen here. That's happening there. They're just cell phones. That's what's going on because people understand. Now you just hold your cell phone up. You can even get an app for your phone that is a lighter. You can plug in that app. You can flip open your lighter, click it, and it'll have a flame. It'll have a flame. Now it's everywhere. Now this wonderful technology which connects us globally, and look, I'm not trying to knock that. I can talk real time with my brother Bill, who's in Italy. I mean, it has to be like 5 p.m. his time and like some other bizarre time for me, but we can talk. We can see each other and talk. He can see my kid. He can see my dog. He can see my house. I can talk to my relatives in Japan real time. I think that that's absolutely wonderful. I thank God for stuff like that because my mom is kind of watching my son grow up over FaceTime. You understand what I'm saying to you? He's so big because it's been like 2 weeks since the last time she saw his face. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for all this connectivity. But it makes being still really, really hard. Pastor, these people are sitting down. They're being still. They may be in one place, but I promise you this, their brains are going a mile a minute. It's getting ridiculous, folks. Have you seen this? Have you walked into a restaurant recently and it's full of people and only, and I want to be very careful here, I want to be very careful. You can see the generational break when you go into a restaurant because everybody, and I'm making gross generalizations here, everybody at a certain age and down, that's what's happening. That's what's going on. But then when you get to those generations that are a little bit further removed, who remember what conversation is like, not texting, but conversation. I guarantee you some of these people are sending texts to the person sitting across from them because that's how we do now. You can go into a restaurant and there are some people actually talking. to one another. It really gets to the place where you're like uncomfortable. You're like, can you guys text this later? I mean, shouldn't we go and just sit and be quiet and look at our phones? It's harder and harder to be still. I mean, at some point in time, we got to draw the line. It's almost like you're born and the first thing you get is like that cute little hat and a phone. They weigh you and they're like, here's your Nokia or whatever. Here's your Motorola. It's crazy. It's harder and harder. And the thing is, folks, it's not gonna stop. This is how our lives are. We have to take more and more opportunity and be more and more intentional about unplugging. I've told you this story before about my nephew Michael. My nephew Michael spends his summers in Japan for the most part. Now, he's in Boston now working because he's adulting, which he hates, but that's fine. Everybody has to do it. He now knows what bills are. He's like, who's going to pay those? And I'm like, ha-ha, look in the mirror, champ. That's on you. You're like 24 years old now. Get a grip. He tells me the story. He told me the story one summer, three or four summers ago. He was in Japan, and I don't know if you know about Japan, but they move a lot of people. So I know you've probably been to the subway once or twice, and you at rush hour, it's really rough. Well, Michael was on a train platform in Japan that held 50,000 people. Just to give you an idea, that's more people than can fit in the Orioles Stadium. Okay? That's over half of what can fit in FedEx. Okay? 50,000 people on a train platform. And Michael said he was on his phone, and he realized he saw that flashing, you know, that whole, your battery's going, you're on low power mode. Do you ever get anxious when that happens? Isn't that so dumb? Isn't that dumb? You're like, no, my phone's gonna, and what? Your head's gonna go, or something's gonna happen on some friend of a friend of a friend whom you don't really know's Facebook feed, but you really need to see that they watched another cat video. Something is gonna happen, I'm gonna miss part of my life. Nope, it's gonna take you a couple hours and you're gonna charge that bad boy and be right back into the stream of life. It'll be fine. He was on his phone, and his phone shut off, and he was like, oh man, and he was standing there for a few minutes and then realized that it was almost dead silent. He was on a platform with somewhere between 30 and 50,000 people. And when he stopped to look around, no one was talking. Because everyone was on their phone. That's weird to me. That's creepy. That's when Michael said, he was like, I just suddenly realized, I got to do something with my life. He was like, this is ridiculous. When I'm looking around, and Michael's tall enough to see because, no offense to Japanese people, they're average 5'1", and Michael's 6'2", and almost 6'3", so we can see for miles in Japan. It's crazy, just miles. And he could look around, and he was just like, I mean, one conversation over here, older folks. One conversation over here, older folks. Another conversation, but everybody else just gets harder and harder to slow down. Somebody needs to invent an app that just really, you know, drums up some respect for getting off of here. Okay, that's just for my parents and some of you folks. That's a freebie right there. There's an app for it. It's called Respect. Gets harder and harder. When are you still? Honestly. I know it's summertime, and maybe things have slowed down a little bit, but if you have a family of any level with any kids, things don't slow down necessarily in summer. As a matter of fact, some of you have already begun to pray for the return of school. Some of you would vote for year-round school if we had that opportunity. I know. On 3 months and off a month, absolutely I can do that. When are you still? And I don't mean when you're asleep and unconscious. I mean, when are you not plugged in? When are you doing something? I mean, there are times when we're maybe physically still. There are times when maybe we sit down and we do something for ourselves. We take care of these, and please take care of these. Listen, nobody wants to see that. Fellas, come on, get a pair of clippers, honestly. The ladies have stepped their game way up. It's 2017. Listen here. Just every once in a while, a little clippy, clippy, clip, snappy, snap, it's fine. Just every once in a while. Maybe you sit still because you're doing something like that, right? Maybe you go to a movie. Everyone should be still and quiet, and you should not be on your phone. Those things are really bright in there, and it's dark. What if I miss something? I see people all the time paying, you know how much it costs to go to a movie these days? It's bananas. You can either take two people and go to a movie, or you can get a tank of gas to last you the next 3 weeks. That's your choice. I see people like this. They're on their phones in the, tee-hee-hee, I need to text you back. Let me tweet. What? What did you pay your $35.14 for your movie ticket for? And that's before you get popcorn. I digress. When are you still? Maybe you go and get a massages are great. If you can afford that, if that's a luxury that you can afford, it is a beautiful thing. We have a masseuse in-house. Miss Sherry will give you a massage, and you will thank God for that profession. You will. Listen, if you ever want to get connected with that, you need to get connected with that. She will do a great job for you. It's an opportunity for you to rely. I would fall asleep pretty much every time. Christina and I tried it for a while. Like, this is great. How was your massage? I have no recollection, but it was a wonderful 30-minute nap. Amazing. When are you still? Hey, I'm still when I'm playing video games. I'm seated in one spot. I'm focused. I'm all right here. I don't hear or see anything else that's happening. There's a fire. Children are bleeding. Everything is, I mean, there's a war. Someone shot a gun, but I'm right here because I got to level up. I got other people on the end of this thing, and we're out there, and we're sweeping and clearing. We're doing our thing. But I'm being still. When are you still? We've forgotten what it means to be still. We've forgotten because we are in the stream of life that our culture and our society has just encouraged us and brought us up into. We just are. When are you still? What time do you spend focused on nothing but God? You're sitting still right now. You're still in your chairs. Thank you for that, because I have a hard time. I'm attention deficit. If somebody starts moving, I'm going to be like, squirrel! And then I'll come back to it. That happens to me. You're still right now, but where are you in your mind? You're thinking about what happened last week. You're wondering about maybe lunch today. You're thinking about everything that you've got to do next week. We've got a graduate. Somebody's graduating. Paul is graduating tomorrow. He's probably wondering, is it going to be hot? Is it going to be good? How long are we going to sit there? Can I just get my paper and roll out? Nope. I'm going to be there, buddy. I was there for your brother. We're just going to sit there and we're going to wait. And then eventually I'll be like, dun, 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 and then we can roll. That'll be good. You're sitting here and you're still. But when do you spend time in stillness with the Lord? We don't practice stillness. We don't. Being still is anathema. I know what I'm talking about. I bought one of those fidget spinners. If you don't know what that is, God bless you. Just stay away from all of that. You don't need that in your life. But I bought one, and I'm telling you, it helped me finish my thesis, because otherwise I would be in that room, and I would type, and I would do whatever for about 2.5 hours, and then I needed a break. And you would think a break is 5 or 10 minutes, right? No! I'd run some errands. I'd come back 2.5, 3 hours later, just blowing some time. Bought one of those things just to spin, because my brain is going all the time, and sometimes I need something else to concentrate on, to focus on. We don't practice stillness. And because we don't practice it, we don't have it. Here's what everyone wants in the walk of faith. Here's what everybody wants. We want to find that 30 to 45 seconds in our lives when we're like, okay, fine. I need something. I need to talk to God. I need to hear something, so I'm going to stop. And we think in that 30 or 45 seconds, we're going to stop, and we're going to clear our minds, we're going to pray, and God is going to speak right into that. Is that possible? Absolutely. Is it likely? No, ma'am, no, sir, because you haven't shut your brain off. Because we don't, and practice is the key. Practicing stillness and silence is the key, and I know how hard that is. And here's the thing. When we spend that 45 seconds and we don't get what we need, we think this doesn't work, so we just move on. Somebody that I admire, continue to admire, Jamil Khan. I don't know if you know that name. Jamil Khan, he was here most of his life. He was the pastor here for, I don't know, a decade or so. You probably remember. Even in college, back when we were in college, Jamil was 19 and I was 20-something years old, and because I was finishing my walk later with the Lord. That kid, several times a week, he would just leave everything and leave everybody, and he would go out and go down to the pavilion, or he would walk to the intramural field, or he would just go somewhere and be by himself because he just wanted to spend some time alone with the Lord. In those times, the Lord told him the names of his children. I'm not kidding. I'm not being trite. I'm not joking. Jamil knew the name of his first kid when he was my roommate at Emmanuel in 1999. So what? What do you mean, so what? Jamil practiced stillness, and the Lord spoke into that. Jamil knew he was going to have a boy before he had a boy. Jamil knew what that child's name was going to be. He knew what his other children's name was going to be. Jamil knew, because he practiced the presence and the stillness, where God wanted him to go. What God wanted him to do. It wasn't foolproof. I'm not saying that Jamil had the red phone to God. I'm just saying he practiced stillness. And because of that, the Lord could speak into him. The Lord could speak knowledge and wisdom. The Lord could give him information. The Lord could share with him about his people, about the folks he was responsible for, because he practiced stillness. He learned to listen so he could hear God speak. I want to tell you about four things. Oh, watching TV. Yeah, obviously we're being still then, right? I want to tell you about four things from the Word, four times in the Word where we need to be still. Exodus chapter 14, 14, and you can just make notes of these. Don't go there quickly because I'm not going to read tons to you. Exodus chapter 14, I'll give you quick context. The Israelites are leaving Egypt. God has done his plague thing. Pharaoh has finally lost his firstborn son. That was the straw that broke the camel's back, and Israel is finally leaving Egypt. And as they are leaving, Pharaoh suddenly realizes that his entire work and slave force is marching out of the city. So he has a change of heart, and he's like, no, I'm going to go back and get them. They've crossed over the Red Sea, but they can see in their rearview mirror that Pharaoh is coming, and he is coming hard. And he's not coming to have a chat. He's not coming to ask them nicely. He's pursuing them with soldiers and with chariots and with horsemen. And they freak out, and they say to Moses, you should have left. They've been crying. Remember that the Israelites have been complaining to God for 400 years at this point. They've been complaining, come and get us. And so God says, I got you. And they're like, let us go back because we don't want to die in the sand in the desert. And Moses says to the people, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Not my words. That's the words of the Word. In times of stress, the first thing that we do is what? Settle down, be quiet, clear a space in our minds to let the Lord speak. If you do that, God love you and please mentor me. Because when I get challenged and when my anxiety rises, the first thing I do is think more and try harder. I try to figure it out. I try to think of ways out. I'm like, well, if this doesn't work, that doesn't work. Now I intersperse that with like random prayers of, Lord, if you have something to say, and then I quickly shove a bunch of other thoughts in my brain. So just in case he really does have something to say, I can't hear any of it. In times of stress, if there's ever a time where you need to sit and be still, it's when things are going wrong. And that is so challenging. If you will sit and be still, the Lord will speak, but you've got to practice that. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 11. Nehemiah is such an incredible book. If you've never read that story, this is the guy who put the city of Israel back together. He was, because of him and his leadership, the walls came back up. And so they got the walls back up, and God is doing his thing, and the promises are all coming around. And Ezra is another guy who's just preaching and teaching, and listen, I know you guys give me about 40 minutes. Ezra preached and taught out of the Word of God from sunup to sundown. Somebody in here should say amen, because there's no way I'm going to ask you to stay. Everybody here at 6 a.m.? Get ready. I'm just going to preach for 12 hours. He preached up and down for 12 hours. And the people, as they were hearing the Word of God and as they were coming to the realization of the way that they had departed from God, were grieving. They were grieving. They were grieving over the lost time. They were grieving over the sin. They were grieving over the fact that an entire generation had been lost to idol worship. They were grieving. This is what Nehemiah says to the Levites. Go out and tell people, no, the time for grief is over. This is a day of rejoicing, for the Lord is here. Nehemiah 8:11. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, be still, for this is a holy day. Do not grieve. There can be rejoicing even in times of much grief. We all grieve. We all do. That's part of the process. I'm not telling you to spiritually bypass your grief, because I think that's wrong and I think you are setting yourself up for failure. To say that we don't grieve is to say that we're not human, and to say that we're not human is to say we don't belong to the Lord. We are God's people. We are the people that He created. We grieve, but we do not grieve as those who have no hope. When things are difficult, when there is loss, when there is confusion, when you are grieving, that is the time to be still and listen to God speak into whatever your situation is. Psalm 37, 7. I don't know if you know anything about the Psalms, but there's basically a hymnal. It's basically a hymnal. They're basically songs. Almost all of them are songs. And some come from Solomon and the sons of Korah, who apparently were like a rock band. Just kidding. They were worship leaders, though. I like to call them Old Testament rock band, but it's fine. Some were from David and some were some from different places, but it was all basically hymns or songs to God. And if you read any of them, sometimes they're like these beautiful, like you can hear them, they're like upbeat. You're like, this is peppy, this has some snap to it. And some of it is like a dirge, because David is like, what about me? He's so upset. It's kind of like a ballad. Remember those? Psalm 37, kind of like one of David's ballads. But this is Psalm 37:7. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. Everybody in here has experienced injustice in some way, shape, or form. You have been passed over for a job that you were overqualified for. Somebody in your life has accused you of something, has judged and juried you in your life over something you had nothing to do with. You have gotten a grade in school that you did not deserve. You worked hard, and you didn't deserve the grade that you got. Everybody in here on some level, in some way, shape, or form, has experienced injustice, and that is a time to be still and listen to God speak into your heart, into your mind, into the circumstance. And that is tough, because injustice makes me nuts. One time, I was out in Georgia, one time, and I saw an adult slap a child. Full face slap. And that kid went down. I'm not an angry person. I'm not an angry person, but part of me died that day. And I thought, come slap somebody else. Come over here and slap. Let's see what happens. And that's the time to be still. Listen, our culture and our society is in a whirlwind. When injustice is rampant, we can do one of two things. We can let it inside. We can cause it to be a block between us and the presence of God, or we can be still and listen to God speak. This is the fourth time that the Bible says, the Bible specifically says, be still. This is Psalm 46. In Psalm 46, this is one of the psalms of that rock band Korah. I need to stop saying that. Of the sons of Korah who were worship leaders. The sons of Korah, they were worship leaders. And it is a beautiful song of praise to God. He is our refuge and our strength. In times of trouble, he will be there. We can hide ourselves in him. Doesn't matter what we're dealing with, he is our rock, he is our fortress. Just this beautiful, worshipful, and this is what it says in verse 10. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Not just when times are difficult. Not just when you're experiencing injustice. Not just when you're seeing the bad guys get ahead. Not just when you're stressed out, not just when you are grieving, but even when everything is going great and you are filled with the presence of God and suddenly you're beginning to make it about you. Does that ever happen to you? Does that ever happen? You're worshiping and things are feeling good and suddenly you're feeling great about your life and suddenly you're feeling great about you. And suddenly maybe you begin to make a disconnect between how you got to where you are just by the grace and the faithfulness of God. Suddenly, that relationship with God begins to sort of take a back seat because, listen, when we're all feeling good, how much God do you need? Folks come to church all the time because things are not good. In your praise, in those opportunities where you recognize the goodness of God, absolutely rejoice, but be still and listen to God speak in the times of stress, in the times of injustice, in the times of grief, and even in the times of praise. We've got to practice the presence, and we've got to practice being still. This week, when are you going to be still? Today, when are you going to be still? Is your calendar going to be the only thing that you can hear and see? Is your phone going to run you? I have told you, I don't know how many times, YouTube is a rabbit hole. It just starts with one thing. I'll be doing one thing, and it will be honest to goodness. It will be some kind of research. I'll be like, what is out there on YouTube? And then that video is done, and what happens? 17 other different ones that have nothing to do with what the video just watched is like, if you like that, maybe you should click here. It's called clickbait for a reason, and I'm the biggest clickbait fish ever. I hardly go on Facebook at all because I'll be scrolling down. Someone made a comment about you. And connected to that is a video about somebody who blew something up in their backyard. And I'm like, I need to see this. I need to spend the next 2.5 minutes of my life absorbing how this dude blew the car up. And before I know it, I have dumped 3 or 4 hours down this hole of what? And then I wonder why it is when I try to hear God, I can't. Because the YouTube videos are playing back in my head. Because Facebook is calling me. Because my thoughts are spinning out of control. This week, when are you going to be still? Today, when are you going to be still? Because he says, be still and know that I am God. Father, this world calls your people away from you. And it's the insidious thing about it is it's not a specific, a godless call. It's not saying, come be a part of this and don't do that. Because we can avoid that, and we push back against that. Every person in here who has a relationship with you, when we feel like somebody is calling us away from you specifically, we'll say, no, I've got to stay with God. But all the rest of the stuff just insidiously seeps into our lives. And before we know it, our minds and our hearts are so full of noise, so full of static, that when we desperately need to hear you, we can't, because we can't be still. Father, I'm asking that each person in here would begin to cultivate the practice of stillness. We don't have to be like some of those folks of great renown who just are quiet. And there's a pastor I remember years and years ago. I heard about Young Icho, who's a Korean pastor who just would spend 4 to 5 hours a day in prayer with you. Ah, it's like I don't even know Jesus. I know that that's not what you're asking for, but I know that you are asking for us to unplug from our lives, from our schedules, from our responsibilities and the roles that we play, and just be your children and be still in your presence. Here's what I know, because I've seen it in my own life, and I know that if it's true for me, it's true for everyone, God. When I practice stillness and the presence, you speak into me. You speak into me. And it's not great words of wisdom. You haven't shared with me prophetic words for where this country's going to be in 5 or 10 years. You haven't shared with me the names of my children. Thank you, Lord, because I love Hudson and one and done, and hallelujah, God is good. You haven't told me that I need to be somewhere doing a certain thing at a certain time, but you have told me that you love me, and you have shown me how the circumstances in my life have drawn out those things in me that are not of you. You have shown me ways that you have worked and moved in my life, and all that does is draw me closer to you. All that does is cement the reality of my relationship with you. All that does is bring me closer to Jesus every day. God, may we practice stillness and your presence in our lives so that we can hear you in the grief. We can hear you in the stress. We can hear you in the times of injustice, and we can hear you in our praise. We thank you, Father, and we love you, and we are going to practice being still in Jesus' name. Amen.